Hello and welcome to my podcast screencast, whatever you want to call this. There's some interesting stuff going on today with Twitter and kind of with social media in general, but today is specifically Twitter. And I thought I would kind of talk about it here, try to get back into a bit of a podcast thing with this. There's this, for context, there's this NPC meme that's been going around for a while on the chans. And for some context on that, NPC stands for non-player character. It's an idea that goes back to Dungeons and Dragons, where you have characters in the game that aren't run by the players. If you've ever played a game like that, or a role-playing computer game, you have the player characters, the PCs, that the player controls, and then you have all the other characters in the game, the shopkeepers, the monsters, the, you know, whoever they come across. Those are NPCs, non-player characters. And in D&D, the dungeon master has to run all those characters, has to pretend to be them when you run into them. And generally, he will have just a very thin, you know, idea of what they are. They might, you know, if it's a shopkeeper, basically they just are the shop. If it's a goblin that you're going to fight, it's goblin number 5, and basically, you know, that's it. It's not like there's a complicated character behind it. Now, if it's somebody that you're going to ally with and hire or something like that, then they're, you know, the dungeon master may make up more of a character with a name and an attitude and things like that. So, in computer games, you know, in newer computer games, NPCs are just run by the computer, and they generally just have a fairly simple scripting that they follow, to where when things they're basically just there for the player to interact with. So they don't think on their own. They're not out adventuring doing their own thing. They're just there for the player. And so when the player does things, it triggers them into doing whatever. Triggers them into attacking or selling you something or whatever it is. And so that became this idea of people who just are triggered by things and who don't really think things through being NPCs. And it's not really a new concept. There's always been this idea of, you know, people being sheep or followers or whatever, who don't think. They just follow whoever they've decided is the leader, and repeat whatever that person says. So that's not really a new concept. There is kind of some interesting psychology that goes with this that does make it more targeted, I guess you could say, than previous insults like that. But that's not really the point of this today. But so this idea has been going around on the chans for a while as a way to describe sort of the masses of people out there, especially on social media, who just pick up whatever the latest narrative is and repeat it without seeming to think about it. You saw that with the Kavanaugh hearings, that, you know, as soon as Christine Ford started testifying, immediately everybody was using the word credible. You know, everybody was saying how credible she was. Credible is not that common a word. It's not a word we all walk around using every day. So it was interesting that so many people were using that word all of a sudden. Well, it's because they just pick it up from each other. And nobody was really thinking, or most of them at least, weren't really thinking it through and thinking, she seems really credible. It was just somebody else said she seemed credible. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. So, you know. And then as soon as Kavanaugh started testifying, they dropped that and started talking about how he was so emotional and out of control. And that just, it was just like on a dime. If you were watching social media when it happened, it was just like instantly this, you know, it seems like an order goes out to tell everybody, no, this is the new narrative. And it's not really an order going out, maybe to a few people at the top, but basically it just spreads that fast. And so it seems like, even though it's actually individual people shifting, it actually seems like programming in a computer. And, you know, that all the characters all of a sudden turn and go another way. So this NPC meme has been out there for a while, just as sort of a joke, sort of an inside joke on the chans, with this gray face that I've got here, being the end, being a typical NPC, just a person who doesn't really think for himself, who just follows the programming of the herd. Well, a week ago, maybe, it might not have even been that long. Some people just as a prank basically started making Twitter accounts using this face or minor variations on it and calling themselves things like NPC 38059. Obvious fake accounts, and just to sort of play on this idea of people on social media being NPCs. Okay, I'm back. Had to go get the dog out of the road there. Basically, as a prank, a bunch of people, maybe 1,000 or so, ended up creating these NPC Twitter accounts. And the whole point was to be funny. The whole point was to just joke on this idea that there are people out there who are NPCs by making really obvious NPC accounts and saying, "Yeah, you're like this." Well, something strange started happening. The accounts got followed. Accounts that looked like real accounts, with names and pictures and, other people they communicated with started following them and reposting their stuff, even though it was really obvious bot type stuff. That's the thing. They were intentionally acting like bots. But accounts that looked like real accounts started picking them up and following them and reposting their, retweeting their stuff. And by the way, you'll have to excuse the language in these posts that I'm showing while I talk here. And not just a few, like lots of them. So people creating these NPC accounts, all of a sudden they're getting all kinds of followers. It was basically like if you started calling around to local businesses and asking them if they have Prince Albert in a can, and they all answered you seriously, and none of them realized it's a joke and just hung up on you. And you just kept calling, and they all took you seriously. You'd start to wonder, what the heck is going on here? Who am I really talking to? So all these accounts that looked like real accounts started following these NPC accounts and taking them seriously, even though they were obviously joke bot accounts. So then the next thing that happened was Twitter just instantly shut down all these NPC accounts, just really, really abruptly dumped them all. Even ones that were brand new or, hadn't posted anything, obviously fake or anything like that, just really quickly dumped everything that started with NPC, basically. So what it indicates is that there are a lot more bots on Twitter than anyone realized. Now everybody realizes there are, bot networks that try to push things on social media by liking stuff, trying to make it look more popular than it really is, all that kind of thing. That's always going on, and everybody knows that. And of course, there's been a lot of attempt to blame it on Russians or blame it on whatever. But the interesting thing is, that it's going on with accounts that Twitter apparently knows about. The accounts that don't look like bots in any way, they look like legitimate accounts, and a lot of them are even blue check mark accounts. They're accounts that, Twitter has verified as being real people. And yet these supposed real people were suddenly following these obvious fake accounts and retweeting their stuff because it happened to be stuff that account agreed with. It would be something that would be like a resist message or a screw Trump message or whatever. And so all of a sudden, all these seemingly real accounts would follow it and retweet it. So what it looks like is there are more bot accounts on Twitter than anyone realized, and Twitter seems to know about them and is protecting them by shutting down these NPC accounts so that their own bot networks can't accidentally follow these NPC accounts, making it obvious that they're bots too. So like this one guy said, he said, "The entire site is bizarre. I don't think I interacted with any real people while I was on Twitter." And another thing was, a while back, Twitter had this shadow ban system where if enough people blocked you, you would kind of automatically get what they call a shadow ban, where you aren't deleted. It's just nobody sees you anymore. You can still do your thing, but and you don't realize people aren't seeing you. And they got rid of that before the CEO testified before Congress, because that's really not, that's really not the sort of thing they claim they do, but people figured out they were doing it. And so they were coming up with ways to try to force them to shadow ban, like blue check mark people, because if you could get enough other people, if you get your own bot network basically, or your own network of individual actual people to block somebody, it'd push them into a shadow ban. So it was going to be this shadow ban war, basically, trying to get everybody shadow banned on Twitter. And so Twitter had to shut that down. But the interesting thing now is, election tampering is a real crime. You can't, for instance, you can't tell somebody, at least knowingly, you can't tell somebody the wrong day for an election. That's a crime. It's tampering. So what if you have a bot network that is intentionally telling people that a candidate is more or less popular than the reality? What if you have a network of bots that's being allowed to run on a platform like Twitter that is misleading people into thinking that, hey, this particular political side or movement or whatever is far more popular than it is. Pollsters have to be careful to not stretch. If they're going to stretch their claims, they've got to be really careful about that, and they've got to include things like, this is only within so many percent of accuracy and all that sort of thing, because you just can't go around lying to people about what's going on in an election. Candidates can lie maybe, or they can make promises they're not going to keep. But the election itself is not supposed to be tampered with. The voting process is not supposed to be tampered with. So if Twitter was knowingly allowing these bots to run, then they could be in trouble. Not just in the sense of their customers, their users are going to be upset that, all their followers are bots, and they're just, they're into, they're like people in the Matrix, basically passing bot stuff around. But they could be in real, actual election tampering trouble. So what's probably going to happen now is, the trolls basically doing this NPC stuff weren't trying to hide what they were doing. They were doing it as a joke, and so they were being obvious. They're using this gray face and calling themselves NPC 34567 and things like that, because the whole point was to be obviously fake as a joke. But now that they've kind of got a whiff of what's really going on, they're going to start creating accounts that aren't obvious, and they're going to start sniffing out these bot networks, and Twitter is going to be in some trouble here. There's all these companies, Twitter and Facebook and even Google. Google shut down Google Plus the other day because that was going to get them in trouble. So they're kind of backing out of the social media area. But these companies, they sold everybody on their services by saying, "Come in and do whatever you want," basically, other up to the point of illegal materials. But come in and you can follow whoever you want, you can say what you want, Well, then they started shutting down people with certain opinions, and then they said, no, we don't do that. We have specific rules we follow, otherwise, you can say what you want." And they've been gradually getting further away from that, where they've been shutting down one side of the political conversation, and then the other side, not only letting the other side run, but letting bots fill it in even more so that it looks even more popular. So, I mean, I remember back to, I don't know if it was 2008 election or 2012, but if you went to the Twitter homepage, if you just went to the homepage and just watched the trending, it looked like Twitter users were about 99% behind Obama, you know, and 1% behind the other guy, you know. And you say, okay, well, you know, maybe liberals use Twitter more than conservatives do, but not to that extent. And so this kind of stuff, this kind of sort of, you know, gilding the lily, or, you know, stuffing the ballot box, basically, has been going on. But if it starts to affect the actual ballot box, then you have a real problem. So I expect what's going to happen is the pranksters are going to become real investigators here, which has happened before, and it never works out well for the people they investigate. And they're going to find ways to sniff out these bot networks that Twitter apparently is friendly to, and, you know, show what's really going on, and show just how much of the narrative reinforcement that goes on social media is really all faked up, and you know, isn't really there. And the sense you get when you go on social media that half the population, or, you know, 3/4 of the population or whatever, feels a certain way is just bullshit. It's not real. It's fake. So, you know, that's why I don't use it. That's why I don't use it anymore, because you just don't. You don't have to find an alternative. It's the same way with the media. You don't have to find a right-wing alternative to the left-wing media, and you don't need to find a right-wing alternative to the left-wing social media. You know, if you do, that's fine, but you don't actually have to do that. You just have to cut off the one that's gaslighting you. You know, cut off the one that's just constantly feeding you a stream of disinformation. When you do that, your own common sense and your own grasp on reality kicks in, and you're okay. You know, you generally understand what's going on if you just don't let them tell you what to think is going on. So that's what's going on today with Twitter, and of course Facebook is also in trouble for defrauding their advertisers, for telling a whole bunch of companies. I guess I wrote about that yesterday, posted it this morning, but basically they told companies you need to move to video, because video, everybody wants to watch video. Nobody wants to read text anymore. They want to watch video. Well, that was just a lie. It was just a lie to sell more video advertising. And so they're going to be in trouble for that. And all these companies, they've had it both ways. Like I said, they pulled people in with this notion of this is a free space. This is a free and open space to communicate. And sort of, even though they're not bound to the First Amendment, because they're not a government, they're a private corporation, even though at some point I'm going to do one of these and argue that they are the government of the internet, but that's another podcast. But they're not bound by the First Amendment, technically, because they're private corporations. And yet they present themselves as if they are. They present themselves as, hey, there's no censorship here except illegal materials. And then they censor people. And so they've tried to have it both ways, and I don't think they're going to get away with having it both ways much longer. They have too much of a monopoly for that, and there are court rulings. There's Marsh versus someone, where this has been a while back. A woman who was a Jehovah's Witness was passing out flyers in a town that was a corporate town. It was one of those corporate towns where a corporation, like a mining company or something like that, actually owned the town, owned the streets and the buildings and stuff. And they arrested her for trespassing, because she was walking down the street handing out these flyers, and they said, you're trespassing on our streets. And I'm pretty sure it went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, no, because, you know, since you have a monopoly on the streets, there is no other way for her to express her, you know, her First Amendment right to free speech. And so you can't restrict, you know, when you have a monopoly. And that's going to be the same. I would say that's probably, someone's going to argue that here, that these companies have created a monopoly for themselves, where they basically, you know, Google, Facebook, Twitter, basically control the social media streets. And so they don't have a right to say, no, you can't express that opinion here. you can't express that opinion on our streets. I would say that's what's going to be argued, unless they find some way to compromise on this and back down, because that's where we're headed now. They're not going to be able to have it both ways. They're going to have to give up either the idea that, well, we're just a free and open space, that everyone needs to come in and use so that we have a monopoly, or they're gonna have to actually do that and say, no, we're not gonna censor anything anymore. Okay, so I guess that pretty well sums it up, and I probably took twice as long to sum it up as I should have, but anyway, I think that's gonna be something that's gonna be going on for a while. So I hope this was informative, and thanks for watching.